Well, generosity stemming from gratitude is behind the donation of a boat which will be sold on Trade Me, and all funds will be going to Kidney Health New Zealand. Paul Adams is the generous donor who last year was the recipient of a kidney transplant. And as fate would have it, he didn't have to look very far to find a match. His fiancée, Barbara Sutton, was able to donate her organ to him. So to tell us more about the story, the boat auction on Trade Me and the twist of fate that led to his beloved donating a kidney, Paul Adams is with me now. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hi, Wallace. Yeah, thank you for having us on today.
Oh, great to have you on. Tell us, firstly, about how unwell you'd become to the point of needing a new kidney. What was happening with you?
Oh, primarily it was energy levels. So diagnosed with kidney disease 22-odd years ago. So I lived with it over, many, many years and well under control. And it was really probably the last 2 years that my GFR numbers and some of the key criteria started dropping off, and in particular the GFR, when it gets to I think the number 15, now a normal person is sort of in the 70s, 80s.
Oh, wow.
So when it gets to 15, they say you're in end chronic kidney disease stage. So, basically you're either, you've got to find a donor or you go on to a dialysis program until you find someone that can provide you with a kidney. So, really interesting. So my last year was a real struggle. I mean, I remember going for a mountain bike ride with a buddy, just a lunchtime ride, 21 Ks, which not really too arduous on flat terrain in Invercargill. And going home and having to have kind of like, I think, two and a half hours sleep. So really very low in energy and just quite zapping. Even using your brain in meetings and things like that was quite a struggle. So that was kind of how it manifested itself with me.
So you got to the point where you just had a feeling that, gosh, something was wrong. So you went to your GP.
Oh, well, so with kidney disease, what's really interesting, I would go every 3 months. So they would do bloods, and we would check all the numbers and all the criteria after those bloods were given. So you were always being monitored over that 22 years, and I was on certain medications to assist with my particular kidney disease.
What were your options without a donation? What would have happened if there wasn't a transplant?
So what happens is if you don't have someone who is a live donor, and obviously, Barbara being a match more than one part of my life, not only with the kidney, but also in life in general. So what happens if you don't have a live kidney donor that could support you, then you go on the deceased kidney donor program, which you go in kind of a line of people who are on the list, and they are looking for someone who will come up with a matching kidney that might support you. Now, that could take up to 5 years. That's kind of the time frame. That
5 years.
5 years, yes.
Five special years.
Yeah. And in those 5 years, if you're in that 15... or below in the end chronic kidney situation, you likely would have to go on to a dialysis machine for some of that time or all of that time. And dialysis, as many people are on at this point, it's pretty tough. It's not a great life for anyone. They've got to, two or three times a week, they've got to go on the dialysis machine. And I'm not speaking from experience, because I was, with Barbara, I was extremely lucky not having to go on that at all. So, but I understand, and talking to people in the dialysis unit and such, like, it's a tough road.
And so it happens that your wonderful fiancée, Barbara Sutton, donates a kidney to you. Were you both surprised that you were a match?
So I guess, firstly, when Barbara said to me as we walked out of the clinic with our southern DHB specialist, once he sort of gave us the news and said, here's your options, as we were walking out, Barbara said to me, I'll give you my kidney. And it was like, I mean, that was such an emotional moment. Straight up, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, it was just like, wow. And then that was kind of an easy part. The difficult part was more so for Barbara than myself, going through what they call the workup. And the workup goes over a period of 6 months. The local district health board kidney coordinator organises all that, and they go right into, you know, not only your blood match, your health and fitness, but also your psychological well-being. And, you know, the question that was posed to Barbara was, if you were walking down the street 3 years down the track and you saw Paul with another woman, how would you feel about your kidney being inside Paul if he had, you know, if he had left you?
Good grief.
Oh, tough. Really, really tough. But I guess they're wanting to make sure that you are making the right decision as a donor.
That's quite a angle, isn't it?
It was tough. Both of us emotionally, we said, oh, no, this is good. But what was really, really interesting for both of us, when we'd gone through the operation and we got out the other side and I knew Barbara was fine and she knew I was fine, we had a flood of emotion after that, because there was an underlying stress period.
Oh my goodness.
Getting to the point of the operation. So not only all the things that we'd gone through in the workup, but also just the, the anxiety or that feeling of, you know, will this operation be okay? Will we get through it? You know, will Barbara be okay? Will I be okay? And that sort of thing. So that was just, it was overwhelmingly pleasant to know that she was fine, for her to know that I was fine, and
yeah,
things were working well.
Some interesting feedback from our listeners across the Motu here. Some are saying how how kidney issues affected them. You might shout out to a baker at a bakery in Wellington, a foodie destination for so many. They've just had to close due to the person's kidney condition. Go you donors. Yeah, I know. And as a very successful business owner yourself, you'd relate to that. But can I just ask, is Barbara anywhere near you just by chance?
Yeah, she's right opposite me. She's looking at me right now.
Can you put her on? Can you put her on?
Lily Wallace. Yeah, here she is.
Hi, Wallace.
Hey, kia ora, Barbara. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yeah.
So you've been listening to that. Tell us what it was like being a kidney donor.
Oh, look, it's quite an interesting journey, because a lot of people, they'll say, oh, it's such a great thing you've done. But, you know, this is always, it was never about just Paul. It was always about us together and our future together. And, you know, it was about our ability to grow old together.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
How much support did you both need along the way? It's one thing when one in a couple has a major operation, but you both had this procedure, as I understand it, at the same time.
Yep. So afterwards, what actually happens is after the operation, Paul needed a lot more support than I did from the health professionals, and he actually went and lived in a motel in Dunedin. We're from Invercargill. He lived in a motel in Dunedin for about maybe 6 weeks afterwards.
Oh, goodness.
He's telling me, he's correcting me in the background. he broke all the records. It was less than that. Because they have to make sure that there's no rejection. So
yes, that's right.
He was up for daily blood tests and monitoring. It's quite a major operation for the donor. So I came back to Invercargill and I had some family support here. But the DHB actually supports you financially for up to 3 months. So until you can get back to work, you have, but the donor actually has financial support. So it's just not like you go home and you've got to look after yourself. You do get support.
It's nice to have a chat to you. We're running out of time, Barbara, so if you could put us back to Paul. Kia ora, Barbara.
Absolutely.
And Paul, come back to the phone. Are you there, Paul?
Hello, yes, Wallace.
Yeah, I just want to end this by saying, look, because I haven't referred to the fact that you're a co-founder of, you know, a boat manufacturer, Staplecraft, which is internationally recognised. You've done some pretty big things in the sort of boat area, developing the world's first virtually unsinkable aluminium boat, just as an aside. But you have a boat auction that you've got on Trade Me, a dollar auction. Tell us about this before we go.
Oh, look, we felt we, you know, with the fantastic experience that we received and support we received from the DHBs, both, you know, Canterbury and South Otago, it was just something that we just wanted to give back to all those people out there. There's so many people that have kidney disease that possibly don't realise they have it. And if diagnosed early, then you can do a lot more than getting to the end point and then having to worry about a kidney replacement. So the ability to actually put together a package for the Trade Me auction was just fantastic. And not only ourselves at Staplecraft, we had a numerous amount of our key suppliers all jumped on board and said, yes, we'll help with this. So I couldn't name them all kind of right now, but honestly, it's just, if you go to the Trade Me website listing, you'll see all the names. And it's just fantastic to have, you know, the group putting together this package. This is going, I think it's at $50,400 is the highest bid at the moment. The boat package is worth about $62,000. Plus, it's also got a day's trip with a Fiddy Angler Icon, Fiddy Angler fishing trip as well. So it's a big package.
I'll talk about the package after the 2 o'clock news very briefly. Paul, how are you feeling now?
Oh, great. Honestly, I love mountain biking. I'm 63 years old. Not last week, but I've been averaging around about 100 kilometres a week on my mountain bike. And my fitness and health and endurance levels are as good as they've been. So I'm very
pleased for you, Paul. I'm so pleased for you and Barbara. Barbara, thank you, Paul. You're a star. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you, Wallace.